Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
As always, take your Bible and turn. You're going to have a hard time finding this one. I say that with a smile on my face. To Genesis chapter 1. So open up to Genesis chapter 1. And while you're turning to that, let me say thank you, Brother Cal, for the incredible honor to preach the Word of God. And Cal's going to be listening to us later. He had an emergency that came up where they had an evangelist was supposed to preach this Sunday at, I think, Green River Church in Waynesboro, and he got sick or had to cancel, and they called Cal, and Cal called me, and I said, Cal, there's nobody I'd love to preach for more than you, and thank God. And so what an honor. This is the first time I've preached since celebrating the 50th anniversary of being a pastor and retiring, but I'm not going to retire completely. So it's just an honor to start the second chapter of our ministry together, and thank God for Priscilla sticking with me all these years. And I don't think she had any idea what she was getting into, but she has been a faithful, beautiful Christian wife and faithful pastor's wife, and she never complained out loud. That was what was the great thing about her ministry. An old pastor said to me once, there are three keys to a successful sermon. Number one is the sympathetic audience. Number two is a sympathetic audience, and number three is a sympathetic audience. And I feel that today. There's so much love in this room, and I was just greeted by so many beautiful people, and it's just like heaven here, being with God's people. Being every moment God gave me to be a pastor, and I say this with the utmost of sincerity, my heart open to the Lord, every moment was an honor. Next to having a godly wife, wonderful family, being saved, the greatest honor of my life was to serve as the pastor of a Baptist church for 50 years. And even when it wasn't always smooth, it was an honor to represent Jesus Christ and to preach the Word of God. And so thank God for the honor, and it is a true honor to be here today. One little funny story about pastoring. We've been at First Baptist. We were there. It's been 27 or so years since we first preached there. And we'd been there 4 or 5 years, and people were coming. We were having a great time. And I went one day, got a call from my wife, said, go by the grocery store and get something. And I'm very dutiful and did that. I don't like to go into stores. Any other men like that? But anyway, so I went in there, and there was this sweet, beautiful family of mama's there and four little stair-step children and the little boy about 4 or 5 years old. And they just started coming to our church, and he was just catching on to what church was all about. And he spotted me coming in the door, and he grabbed his mother by the skirt and said, Mommy, Mommy, look, there's the creature. And I laughed, and I went over to him and said, yes, I'm the creature and the preacher, and it's all good. God is so good, just to preach the Word of God. Now, here's what we're going to do today. I told Brother Cal, I've got a sermon here. God's got hope. Someone said, do you have a sermon or does the sermon have you? That's the big difference in preaching. Sometimes we have a sermon, but the sermon doesn't have us. But this sermon's got me, because I've been working on it with the help of the Lord for about 8 years. About 8 years ago, began to do a more intensive study of the first 11 chapters of Genesis. And it became a biblical obsession for me to conquer as much as my little mind could the content and the spiritual application of those first 11 chapters that the devil hates so badly that he says really aren't true. And so Genesis chapter 1 is our message today. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to read out loud, I'll read out loud without much comment, the 31 verses of Genesis 1. And the title of the sermon is, The Ten Commandments of Creation. Now, you've heard of the Ten Commandments given by Moses. And there they hold the world together morally. Done a lot of reflection on what's going on in our world today. Why in the world have we gone the directions we've gone in sexuality and marriage and morals? Why? What has happened? And there's a lot of reasons, but the simple reason is we have a generation in America that knows not the Ten Commandments. They don't, like the generation and the Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. We've got a generation that does not understand there are moral standards. There's a moral compass that God has placed here called the Ten Commandments. We know those. Let me see if we can remember those Ten Commandments in Exodus. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt, that sums them all up. Love thy neighbor as himself. And all, we won't name them all, but you know them all the way down to thou shalt not kill, which pretty much covers abortion and euthanasia for me. Amen? Duh, you know. So the Ten Commandments hold the moral world together. But we don't also, I've never heard except one commentary mention, and it just grabbed my mind, that there are Ten Commandments in the first chapter of Genesis that hold the physical world together, that God gave in creating in 6 days, each with an evening and a morning, this world there. So what we're going to do is read Genesis 1, and every time you see the words, "and God said," underline it. And if you don't have your Bible, you can still be a Christian, but bring your Bible to church and mark it and study it and underline it. But I'd like for you to underline it, or at least note it, and go back in your devotional this week and underline the 10 times you see the words, "and God said," and that's a command. When God says something, it's a command. So God, in the 6 days of creation, commanded this world to come together piece by piece, step by step, with man being the last one. So then after we read that and I give that exposition to you, then we're going to do what the preachers call an exegesis, lead some spiritual life application truths of how that should change our life. So you don't come to a sermon just to get information. You got to have information, but it's got to be information that leads to transformation. So that's where we are. Now, one other word. I know that the educational world, the philosophical world of today, basically has said the idea of a six-day creation about 6,000 years ago was foolish. I look at CNN news every so often just to see what the enemies are doing. I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings. I don't mean to make anybody mad. I feel like I'm among friends. But they had an article in there that said, "The scientists say the world may only be 2 billion years old, not 4 billion years old." Well, who was there to tell them it was 2 billion years? God was the only one that was there. And God said it was, He created the world in 6 days, about 6,000 years ago, according to the genealogies in the Bible, that's exactly what it is, in 6 days, each with an evening and a morning. Now, Martin Luther, who, remember the Protestant Reformation we celebrated two years ago, and how exciting that was for all of, for church history. My favorite Martin Luther quote, you ready for it? Here it is. "When Moses writes that God created heaven and earth and whatsoever is in them in 6 days, let this period continue to have been 6 days. But if you cannot understand how this could have been done in 6 days, then grant the Holy Spirit the honor of being more learned than you are." Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love it. All right. Beginning in Genesis 1, every time we see the word "and God said," I'm going to count 1, then 2 through 10. And then we'll preach a sermon with an application. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you can believe the first verse in the Bible, you won't have any trouble believing every verse in the Bible. Amen. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said," number one commandment was light. Now this was not the creation of the sun, moon, and stars. This is light. It's simply God showing himself. For the first John says, God is light. So this just means God shone out his glory. First commandment was light. Today, we are living in the glory of that commandment. All light ultimately comes from God. Without God, it's darkness. More physically and spiritually. Let there be light, verse 3, and there was light. So underline, that's commandment 1. God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Commandment 2, verse 6, and God said, commandment 2, this is the creation of the firmament. We'll talk about that. Let there be a firmament. Now, I know various translations. I read every translation I could get a hold of this week. Some say expanse. Some say sky. Some say heaven. You could say atmosphere. I'm going to use the word atmosphere because that's exactly what it is. See, this earth was covered by water. This earth has been covered by water completely 2 times, before the creation and during Noah's flood. And so all this water is on the ground, and God then divides it, and he puts half the water up here and half the water down here. There's as much water in the atmosphere around the earth as there is on the earth, in my opinion. If you think, there's 16,000 thunderstorms every second on earth. That's a lot of water. There's a lot of water up there. God showed us how much once at Noah's time and covered the earth again. So God made, I'm going to use the word atmosphere, because that's exactly what it is. It's that space of what we call air between the waters on the earth and the waters that are miles and miles ahead. There's a big, thick canopy covering over this planet, and there's something here called air. King James calls it firmament. I kind of like that. I like a big old bite of firmament. Boy, that firmament's so good. Air. Let there be an atmosphere in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the water. And God made the atmosphere and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters that were above the firmament, the atmosphere. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, or sky, some translations. I'm going to call it air or atmosphere. That's exactly what it is. And the evening morning was the second day. Then, and God said, and we get to the third day. There are 2 commandments on the third day. And it has been noted that God, from the beginning, is a first gospel foregleam. He is saying, the third day is going to be a special day. In which later we understand the gospel, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day. So on the third day, he gives 2 commandments to say this day is special. And so he says in verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the water he called seas. And God saw that it was good. So commandment 3 is the ground upon which we walk. Think about that. Light, air, earth. God gave all that. If God for 1 minute pulled back his loving hand, this whole planet would be covered with water again, because there's 6 miles of water in parts of the Pacific. Wouldn't be any big deal. God forbid that river will ever rise up again, but it has, and floods come. But God gave us earth upon which to stand, and we should thank God every day for the ground upon which we stand. And then commandment 4, verse 11, and God said, on that third day, since the ground was there, he began growing fruit trees for men to eat. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening morning of the third day. So there's 3 days. We have four commandments. Now we get to the fourth day, and we get to the fifth commandment, verse 14. And God said, underline it. Here God creates order. Here God creates the structure. He said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. So God said, I'm going to take my light and I'm going to pour it into the sun. The light of the sun, which that incredible ball of fire that's millions and millions of degrees hot. The earth is just... Evolution's so wonderful, isn't it? That's a joke. The earth is just the right distance from the sun. If it was a million miles closer, it'd burn up. If it was a million miles further away, it'd freeze. It's no accident. That's God. It's God. And God poured His light into the sun and the lesser light into the moon. We saw a full moon last night. And the moon is the reflected light. As a Christian, is a reflected light of the glory of God. Let them be for lights upon the firmament. Verse 15, to give light upon the earth, and it was so. So there's going to be days. There's going to be years. There's going to be seasons. There's going to be responsibility. And so every day when your alarm goes off at 5:30 and you have to get up, this goes back to the book of Genesis. God said it's good for you to have order. It's good for you to have to get up. You may not always enjoy it, but it's good for you to have structure, that this is a gift from God. Your responsibility of having to be at work, your responsibility of being at church on Sunday morning, your responsibility of taking care of the monthly bills, these are ordained by God. I heard about a teenage boy, none of us ever rebelled, did we? Well, this teenage boy, he went going through a little rebellion, and his mother and daddy say, get up, you got to go to school. Get up, you got to go to church. And he said, when I turn 18, I'm leaving home so I can do whatever I want. And he was true to his word. I'm leaving home. I'm going to do whatever I want. He went out, looked around, joined the Marines. Oh, boy, did he learn. You're always going to have order. You're always going to have structure. You're not a jellyfish. You're not just pushed around by the waves. Order and structure and getting up in the morning and going to your job and taking care of family and taking care of responsibility, that's a gift of God. It's a gift of God, and God created all that in the fourth day. Verse 16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And then he throws a sentence in there like a afterthought. And he also made the stars. No big deal. You know, creation was easy for God. He just spoke. Redemption was hard for God. He had to be nailed, his son nailed to a cross. So God just spoke. Verse 18, to rule the day and the night and divide the light from the darkness, God saw that it was good. Evening and morning, the fourth day. Now we get to the fifth day and the sixth commandment. Verse 20, and God said, there's commandment six, let the waters bring forth abundantly. So what we have here is the creation of fish and birds, fowl and fish. Bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl or birds that fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great sea creatures. My translation says whales, big animals in the water, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. And by the way, there's that after their kind. For any theory of evolution to have any scientific basis, one species has to become another species. That's never happened, and it's never going to happen. One species still creates another species. There can be mutants within a species, variations of species, but one species begets the same species. And it's always, he puts in here, after his kind. And every winged fowl after his kind, verse 21, God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the oceans, the waters, and the seas. Let the fowl, the birds, multiply in the earth. And the evening, morning were the fifth day. So there are the first six commandments. Now we have four left and one day left, so we have four commandments on the last day. And that's the day that you and I are created. So you're marking these, so let's look at it. Verse 24, you have the seventh commandment. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature of his kind. Livestock, some most translations say, cattle is what mine says, creeping things, the beast of the earth after his kind. It was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle, the livestock after their kind, and every living thing that creepeth on the earth after his kind. God saw that it was good. So God made all the land animals on the sixth day. The air animals, the sea animals are on the fifth day. And so what we've got is God has now made verse 1, commandment 1, he made light. Commandment 2, he gave us air to breathe. Commandment 3, he gave us ground to stand on and fruit trees to eat and enjoy apple pie and all those wonderful things that fruit trees give. Then he created the sun, moon, and the stars. Then he made order and structure. Then he made the fish and the fowl to fill the air and the sea. And so the world is now, the physical world is complete for God to create the crown of his creation. So he creates the land animals first, and he mentions livestock twice, which talks about the blessing that livestock are going to be to us in every way, whether it's to help us with labor or to help us with milk. I know some of you are lactose intolerant. You can still get lactose intolerant milk. You know, you got to believe in God. Twice he mentions livestock here, cattle. A brown cow, he created a brown cow that eats green grass and gives white milk. You got to believe in God. And that milk has nourished mankind for all these years. God gave all this as a blessing to us. Now, man, this is vitally important because we no longer respect life. And we think, well, humanity is just the result of evolution, and man is just another animal. Not at all. Man is above the creation. So we have three commandments for men. And so I'm going to give you the commandment 8 is verse 26. Write the word dignity next to verse 26. Commandment 8. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So this is the dignity of man, the difference of man, the distinctiveness of man, the destiny of man. God did create all other animals, and the same hand created every other animal, the birds, the fish, land animals, but he did not create them in the image of God. There is a dignity to humanity. And I'm going to say something that really will break your heart, but it's in the news. It was in the news yesterday. This was on another news station. An abortion doctor died recently. And yesterday, in going through his house, they found 2,200 aborted fetuses, babies, in his house. Adolf Hitler is child's play to what we are. We've lost the dignity of humanity. We've lost the fact that a baby inside the womb is created in the image of God. I don't care if that baby is from two people who aren't married. That's still a baby of dignity, and it should not be killed, murdered, aborted. It's made in the image of God. We'll apply that more later. So that, write the word dignity. Then verse 9, you have the second commandment about man. By the way, look at verse 26. Is it still up there? Go back to 26. Let us make man. What translation is that? That's good. It capitalized. Okay. Let us. This is another gospel foregleam. And there, believe me, I've studied this. You can go study it as well. This is a reference to the fact that the entire three persons of the Trinity are involved in the creation of man. Let us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Someone said if you try to explain the Trinity, you'll lose your mind. If you deny the Trinity, you'll lose your soul. It's true. And there are two or three times in the Old Testament where the God is referred to as us, where he's doing something great and big, and that God the Father is there. So God the Father, for example, planned, it seems that we see it in the Scripture, salvation. Jesus executed it, executes it on the cross, and the Holy Spirit applies it. On the cross, when Jesus died, this is the great miracle of all, God in heaven is looking down at God on the cross, and for 6 hours, or 3 hours from noon to three, there's a rift in the Trinity where God the Father turns his back on God the Son, so you and I could be saved, praise God, when he took our sins. So the Trinity is vitally important. Then we see the ninth commandment, and God blessed them in verse 28, and God said, and here we see the dominion of man. Verse 26 is the dignity of man. Now we see the dominion of man, and God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. Now underline the word dominion. And you fishermen, it says you will have dominion over fish. Wow, the 8-pound bass has eluded me all these years. But God said you will have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Does not mean that we abuse the earth. We should take care of the earth. We should be conservationists. We should take care of the earth. We should take care of our water supply. We should honor this creation that God gave. But man is above the creation. Someone was talking about all these things and climate change and all that stuff, and I won't get into that. And one person actually said, what we really need is fewer people. Okay, let's start with you then. We'll just No, this earth is big enough to take care of our needs. We're to have dominion over it. And then the 10th commandment, this speaks of the delights of man. God said, enjoy the earth. So you've got the dignity of man, the dominion of man, the delights of man. And so in the 10th commandment, and God said, behold, I have given every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, it shall be for you for meat. God said, I planted these trees. Go out and enjoy them. Go catch a fish and enjoy that fish. I've given you, verse 30, every beast of the earth, every fowl of the air, and every living thing that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life. I've given every green herb for meat. And it was so. God saw all he had made. It was very good. Now, I've got to address something here that some of you are... you've been taught in some philosophy class that there are two creation stories. I'm just going to take a survey. How many of you ever heard that the Bible said, that someone say there's two creation stories in the Bible and they conflict? Well, good. You've been to the right schools then. But anyway, in chapter 2, it talks about the creation of woman separately. And it talks about the creation of marriage. That's not two creation stories. That is a side story explaining all that happened on the sixth day. So on the sixth day, Adam names all the animals. And he wakes and he gets to the end of the day and he says, they're all gone. I'm all by myself here on this planet. God said, I got a solution for that. And he put him to sleep, did a little surgery, made a beautiful wife for him. And then he said, Adam, go on your honeymoon. And they had the Sabbath day the next day. Praise the Lord. So you've got, that happened also on the sixth day. It had to happen on the sixth day because if you look at verse 31, God saw everything that he had made. Behold, it was very good. So good, 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 good. And then in chapter 2, it says, Adam, it was bad. Adam didn't have what he needed. So we know that God fulfilled that need by the creation of Eve. Eve means mother. It was anticipation that she would be a mother. And then after God created Eve, it was very good. All you husbands say amen to that. All right. God saw everything that he had made. Behold, it was very good. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, life application. Someone once told me a sermon does not have to be eternal in all for order to be immortal. That's very true. But it's got to be long enough, amen? So we've got now life application. We've done the exposition of Scripture. I hope that you'll study those Ten Commandments. But now, what does this mean to me today? What does this mean to me tomorrow morning? I have several life applications. First of all, everything that we have today, from the ground we stand on, to the air we breathe, to the relationships we have, to our bodies, to our very existence, is because of the grace of God. Hallelujah. So the first application is gratitude. Gratitude. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. How does God keep this thing going 70 years? It's a miracle. Every breath is a miracle. That firmament, that atmosphere, that's a gift of God. Go somewhere else in this. We have all these crazy debates. Is there life on other planets? Well, of course there's not life on other planets. If there were, Jesus would have to die for them, and the Bible says He only dies one time. Right. And you remember the Russians who... in our church in Nashville, we had a Russian church in which the pastor used to be a member of the Russian army, but he was a Baptist all along. There are many, many wonderful Christians in Russia. But, you know, the official line back in the day was communism was godless communism. No God. No God. And that was the line. You remember Khrushchev? Remember a little short guy who was the head? He came over here 1959, just before they kicked him out. He came over and he visited America and he did this. And they interviewed him. They said, Mr. Khrushchev, is it true that all communists are atheists? He said, yes, I am an atheist. Thank God. That is literally true. Absolutely true. And he laughed. They all laughed. There are no atheists on this planet. There are people who deny the existence of God, though they know there is a God. But when this first cosmonaut, Yuri Gagarin, circled the Earth, you know, and back in 1957, I was a little boy, and we thought, oh, the Russians are going to take over. He came back, and he said, I went to the heavens, and I did not see God. And someone commented and said, if you'd have gotten out of that space capsule, you'd have seen Him real quick. Why? Because there's no oxygen up there. God, this oxygen we have is a gift from God. So be grateful for every day. I try to start the day by singing Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Gratitude. If there's no other takeaway, no other life application, no other usage that you see for this, let this idea of Genesis 1, in which we see that everything we have is given to us by God, make us grateful. For of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things, to Him be glory forever. Now the second life application just grows right out of it is worship. Out of gratitude becomes worship. You're going to worship this God that's so good. He's so good to us. I don't know about you, but I'm a sinner. What about you? Can I get an amen? And God said, God, please don't remember that thing I did way back there. Don't worry, I forgot it. He said, you need to forget it. That's how good He is. The blood of Jesus Christ. He died for us. He created us. He died for us. What can we do but every day just worship Him? You get up in the morning and you just worship Him. You begin every day by praising God. And I don't mean this happy, unrealistic thing of, you know, jumping around and not facing life's problems. But the idea of praising God that you're with me in my sickness. You're with me in my struggle. You're with me. I worship You. Another life application which just grows right out of this is respect for every human being. Somebody is better at you in something. Everybody is a little bit better than you at something. Everybody is a gift from God in your life. Every person that you meet, God has placed in your life. You're to give them respect. You may not agree with their lifestyle. You may not agree with them. May not be the boss, you may not like your boss, or you may not like the people you're working with. You may be in a situation that you're dealing with people that are very difficult, but every human being is made in God's image. Remember that. You owe them dignity. You owe our police officers dignity. Let's give a hand to our police officer in the back. Thank you. We owe every human being dignity, because dignity is the gift of being created in the image of God. And then prayer is another takeaway. If I know that He made everything for me and does everything for everybody, if I've got a problem, I'm going to go to God in prayer. Amen. Don't make prayer your last resort. Make it your first resort. There was a lady on a ship one time. I read a story, and there was a big storm that came up, and she went to the captain, and the ship was kind of going back and forth, and she said to the captain, "Captain, are we going to be all right?" He said, "Madam, I suggest that you pray." And she said, "Oh my, is it that bad?" You know, that's the way most of us look at prayer. It's a last resort. No, prayer should be the first resort. Now, you've got a great new church here. Thank God. Praise God. And God is so good. Bathe it with prayer, like the way Brother Billy did it. Bathe every meeting with prayer. Don't start a meeting without prayer. Don't start a Sunday school class without prayer. Don't start a committee meeting without prayer. Pray about everything. Be praying people. Years ago, I realized when people say, "Pray for me," that I might be a liar if I didn't stop right then and pray for them. I might forget. So stop then and pray. Be praying, praying people. Another application is holiness. We've got a God who the first thing He made for us was light. Light in the Bible is a picture of holiness. If you go swimming sometime and you jump out of the water, someone hands you a towel, what's the first thing you do with that towel? Dry your eyes. Because you've got to see. Holiness is the idea that you want to be like God. And the darkness and the idea of having no light is a symbol of evil. But the light of God shines on your life. Live your life and our life so that God, here's my heart. Clean it up. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the path everlasting. We're going to fight the battle with sin till we die. There's no such thing as sinless perfection, number one. And you're saved the moment you accept Jesus Christ. Praise God. It's called once saved, always saved. And I believe in that. And don't let anybody talk you out of it. It's by grace. But I love this statement. It's very true. You're saved the moment you receive Jesus Christ as Savior. But you're not safe until you walk into the Father's house in heaven. Amen. You still got battles to fight. Christians can still mess up. Christians can still stumble. And we need to every day be watching what we watch with our eyes, the things we say with our mouth, the ideas we have. And we need to, forgive me, I love Barney Fife, don't you? Nip it in the bud, you know. You got to, there's no little sin. There's no little sin. There is no little sin. It's always going to get bigger. And, we'll not ever be perfect, but we want to have in such a way a life in which if Jesus came back right now, we'd say, "Welcome, Lord Jesus, praise God." You wouldn't have any sins to confess. And then finally, let's go to the cross. That's the last life application. Someone said, whenever you preach, wherever you are in the Bible, make a beeline to the cross. The creation of man. Man has fallen. We see that in chapter 3. And man fell with a big F, F-A-L-L-L. The fall. Mankind has fallen. And we're sinners. And we've lost the perfect image of God. We're like, actually I believe man is also a Trinity, body, soul, and spirit. We're like a building in which the top floor has caved in on the two bottom floors. It's a dangerous building, isn't it? Our top floor is our spirit, where we relate to God. That's why we need to be born again. Our soul, everybody's got a soul. Everybody's soul is going to live forever in heaven or hell. Do you hear me? Everybody's soul is going to live forever somewhere. That soul is also fallen. The soul is how you appreciate art or beautiful music. It's how you relate to people on a deeper level. Then we've got our body, and we know what the body is. So we've got the body. That's the first floor. That's what most people take care of. I think we got more muscles in America than we've ever had, but we've got less spirituality. Body, then your soul, that's how you relate to God, and then there's the spirit. When man fell, he lost the image of God because it's the spirit that gives him the image of God, and it's like a third floor of a building caved in down through the second and first floor, and we are dangerous folks. We're walking around in a collapsed life. That's why when you're born again, he puts a new third floor up there, and you're born again of the spirit, and you want to be made, you want your body and your soul, the rest of your Christian life to be, you want to get all the junk out and connect back up with that spirit. And one day when Jesus comes back, that'll happen. Well, that's my message. That's God's message. I hope it's God's message. That all the Holy Trinity was involved in creating man. And after he fell, all the Holy Trinity was involved in our redemption. The Father planned our redemption. The Son fulfilled his plan. The Holy Spirit has given to us. And when we come to Jesus Christ on the cross, he restores the image of God. As Augustine says, there's a God-shaped void in every human being which can only be filled by God through Jesus Christ. Our hearts are restless until we find our rest in Thee. And that's the message of Genesis 1. Let's bow our heads together. If you have truly been saved, find your rest in Jesus Christ. Just tell Jesus, Lord, thank you for creating me. Thank you for dying for me on the cross, and thank you for recreating me in your image. And now, Lord, let me walk in the image of God, step by step, more like Christ. If you've never been saved, we're going to have people here at the front who, when we have the invitation, come to them and say, I want to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Come and take one of them by the hand and say, I accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and I want to follow him in baptism. Lord, hear us. Hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. Apply the message. May the Holy Spirit apply the things we've learned from Genesis 1. And may we be more like Jesus. Thank you for creating us in your image and then dying on the cross that we may be recreated in your image forever and ever, never to lose again that relationship. In Christ's name, amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor, about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.